Welcome back to the Arab Voices on Pacifica Radio, listener-sponsored, commercial-free KPFT, 90.1 FM in Houston, 89.5 FM in Galveston, and live broadcast on the internet at kpft.org. This is Saeed, producer and host of Arab Voices, along with my co-host Mark. With us now, live over the phone from California, is Barbara Lubin. Barbara Lubin is a Jewish mother who fights for the rights of Palestinian children. She is the founder and executive director of the Middle East Children's Alliance. Over the years, Barbara led several fact-finding delegations to occupied Palestine and occupied Iraq, bringing hundreds of people from the United States to the Middle East to learn firsthand about the realities there. She has worked with Voices in the Wilderness to deliver tens of thousands of dollars worth of medical supplies to Iraq in open defiance of U.S. sanctions and has traveled back to Iraq several times on humanitarian missions. She has also traveled throughout the West Bank, Gaza, and Arab towns in Israel and has witnessed firsthand the situation there. And for her outstanding efforts and hard work, the Union of Palestinian Women's Associations in North America honored her with a special award in the early 90s. And she also received the Service to Humanity Award from the American Muslims of America. Barbara, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Saeed.
You have traveled to the West Bank and Gaza Strip, and I'm sure you are up to date on the current crisis unfolding in Gaza, where more than 90 Palestinians have been murdered over the past 8 days, many of them children, and more than 360 were injured. This is in addition to the massive destruction of property, infrastructure, and over 65 Palestinian homes demolished, all in just 8 days. What's your take on this? What's your feedback?
You know, Saeed, there's really not much more to say after that report that you guys just did. I mean, you've said it all. I've been going, working in the West Bank and Gaza for the last 17 years. And for 17 years, I've been saying, well, it couldn't get much worse. But I must say that the last trip I just took in August, I've been there 4 times in the last 5 months and to Iraq also. And I must say that what I saw in August when I took a delegation of folks over, I have never seen anything quite as horrific as I did. And I was there during the siege of Beit Hanun and witnessed the entire, all of the agricultural crops, all of the citrus trees, thousands of olive and citrus trees completely uprooted and then buried by Israeli tanks in Beit Hanun. I've watched hundreds of homes be demolished in Rafah. It's a situation that if it was happening anywhere else in the world, the United States would be up in arms and people would be talking about it, sending aid over. And because it's Palestine and because of the influence of Israel and their friends here in the United States, it's barely spoken about. And everyone listening to those names of those young folks that have been killed in these last few days, when you mentioned you read off their names and ages, it was just striking to me and shocking and saddening. It's just unbelievable. There's not much more to add except that people who are listening, if they care, every night, my friend Dr. Mona from Al Awda Hospital in Jabalia calls me and we talk. And last night, in the middle of the night, she told me that they have no more blood to transfuse people with when they come in who are shot and injured. And so there's no blood. The electricity has been off for 100,000 people for the last few days. There's very little pure water, clean water. The shortage of food is unbelievable, and medicine is not getting through. Ambulances are being shot at. Doctors are being shot at. I mean, every international law that exists is being broken by Israel around the clock, and there is actually silence from this country, from our leaders, And I must say, from most of the peace movement, it's quite astounding.
Actually, I disagree with one thing you said. You said they've been silent. They're actually not silent. They are voicing and very clearly their opinion, which is extremely one-sided.
Israel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yesterday, with the veto, the United States vetoed a UN resolution just to ask Israel to stop the attacks on the Palestinians. And then at night, when Gwen asked our presidential or vice presidential candidates about how do you think the conflict can be resolved, they didn't even address the question. They started defending Israel. It was outrageous.
Yeah.
Not to talk about the 90 people that were killed.
Kerry and Edwards took out a full-page ad in the Jewish Forward last week, pledging their undying support for the policies of the State of Israel. And it was an unbelievable advertisement. And it really, we're in a very difficult position as people who care about justice in Palestine. It's a very, very dark time for us.
What is the Jewish Forward you mentioned? What is that?
The Jewish Forward is a Jewish newspaper out of New York, weekly newspaper. And I think it's really important for people who are interested in this issue of the Middle East, particularly Palestine and Israel, that to understand and to read a lot of the Jewish press. We read a lot of, you know, Al Jazeera, but we also read the Jewish press at the Middle East Children's Alliance. It's important to hear what they are saying.
Barbara, tell us more about the Middle East Children's Alliance, the organization that you're involved with, and how is that assisting or helping, and what has that organization witnessed, obviously, at least through you, about the children in Palestine and also in Iraq under occupation?
My partner and I, Howard Levine, and I started the Middle East Children's Alliance 17 years ago, actually May 1st, 1988. And I had been an elected official. I'm 63 years old. I'm a grandmother. I have four kids, and I have six grandchildren. And I am Jewish. I grew up in a very right-wing Zionist home, actually. And it wasn't until I was an adult that I began to take a look at what was going on and starting to understand what really what the founding of the State of Israel and Zionism really meant. And I was elected to the Board of Education in 1982, exactly the time that Israel invaded Lebanon and the massacred sovereign Shatila took place, where close to 2,000 innocent women, children, old men, unarmed, were massacred, murdered. And a group of Palestinian-Lebanese students from San Francisco State came to see me. And they said, Barbara, you know, you go to El Salvador, to Nicaragua, you're part of the anti-apartheid movement at Berkeley, and you don't say anything about Israel and Palestine. And I said, oh, you know, I'm Jewish. And they said, what does that have to do with it? And, of course, now I understand it has nothing to do with it. But back then it did. And those young people actually were my teachers and taught me a lot and made me see another history and made me understand what Zionism was and what the founding of the State of Israel has done to an entire population of Palestinians. So we started the Middle East Children's Alliance May 1st, 88, and since then we've delivered over $9 million of food and medicine to children in Palestine, in Shatila, in Lebanon, refugee camp, in Lebanon, and to children in the West Bank and Gaza. We've built three major parks and accessible parks and playgrounds in the West Bank and Gaza. And we've worked over the last few years, we've mainly worked in Gaza and in the Dahesha refugee camp in the West Bank near Bethlehem. And we've built a guest house for a group of young people called this group is called IBDA, which is an organization of young folks in Dahesha. We built a four-story guest house. We have a computer center. We have a dance hall. We have we have an embroidery project there, And now we're in the process of building a women's center and health center for women in Dahesia refugee camp. And I, for the last 2 years, have had 3 young guys and 1 young girl, all from Dahesia refugee camp, living with me and my family. And they're going to college here in Berkeley.
That's quite amazing, and definitely want to thank you on behalf of all of those people for at least giving them a chance to have a childhood or some semblance of a childhood.
You know what? I thank them. I thank them because, I lived a life that I didn't really know the truth of what was happening. And, when you grow up, when you're my age and you grew up in America, when I did, and I guess maybe for many people it still is, it's hard to believe, but, you grow up with this belief about what being Jewish is and what Israel is. And on that very first trip when I went to Palestine at the beginning of the Intifada, I went with a group, I organized a group of locally elected officials. And one was a Catholic priest and 2 of us were Jewish. It was right January of 88. We went as guests of the Palestinians, and it was just shocking to me. It really, I couldn't believe what I saw. I mean, it was just the opposite of everything my rabbi, my parents, that I had grown up to believe, that everybody had told me. And there were 2 things that just really shocked me the most. And one of them was, as Jews around the world, one of the ways we supported the state of Israel was to plant trees there. And, we were planting trees where there were no trees. Of course, that was a lie. And I went to find my family's trees, and our family's trees were planted on top of a demolished Palestinian village. And actually, my family's trees were exactly on top of a desecrated, demolished Palestinian cemetery. And that was just too much for me. And when I came back from that trip, I decided I was sickened by what I saw. And I wanted to do something about it. And I was naive. I had no idea what it was like to criticize Israel and talk about Zionism, be critical of it. I had no idea what that meant in this country and went into it very naively. And it's been quite a ride. I'm on everybody's lists of self-hating Jews, all of that stuff.
Barbara, give us more information about the children. What must be a tremendous psychological effects on their lives and on their livelihood with the murder and killing of their brothers and sisters and moms and dads, homes demolished. I mean, we see pictures on the Arab satellite TV networks through
that
people here do not see on the mainstream media. It is astonishing, outrageous, the pictures that are coming there, and it's displayed all over the world except in the United States.
Right.
Those children must be living in a tremendous amount of psychological, I don't know how to describe it.
One of the things that's happening is that because of the daily humiliations that Palestinians, all Palestinians, have lived through now for 55 years, but more so the last 4 years than ever before, there are checkpoints. There are something like 300 checkpoints all through the West Bank and Gaza, and children every day, watch their fathers be humiliated by, 18-year-old Israeli soldiers. Sometimes they're forced to take their clothes off at a checkpoint in front of hundreds of other people. They've witnessed their brothers, their fathers, their sisters being arrested in the middle of the night and being taken out and having their clothes taken off and being humiliated, taken away. What is happening to the kids is that the kids are having a lot of trouble. There has been an enormous rise in mutism. And this is little children, 5, 6, 7-year-old girls and boys who never had a problem speaking. Kids who played outside, who talked with each other, who laughed with each other, have completely stopped talking. This is not unusual. There are more and more cases throughout the West Bank and Gaza. that are being described by different psychologists that we work with. We work primarily with the Palestinian Counseling Center in the Old City in Jerusalem and in Beit Hanina and also in Qalqilia in the West Bank. They are witnessing all of young kids wetting their beds. I'll just take the Hejir refugee camp because when I go, I spend a lot of time there. It's like my home and my family. And almost every single night of the 2 weeks that I was there in August, in the middle of the night, cars would pull up, men would jump out of cars, dressed as Arabs, and then pull out their guns, break into people's homes. These were the Israeli undercover soldiers, and drag people out, take all the young boys away, hold them maybe for a day, maybe for 6 months, maybe for a year. And this is what people are living with. They are living with Israeli soldiers coming into their homes, defecating on their furniture, in their refrigerators, humiliating the women, making sexual remarks to the young women, to the mothers. All of this is having a profound effect on Palestinian society. It is also having a profound effect on Israeli society, because you cannot be a guy, a husband and a father, and spend your days humiliating Palestinian people, beating them, and treating them this way, and go home and be a decent father and being a decent husband. And there's been an enormous rise in child abuse and in beating of wives inside of Israel, so that it plays out also in Israeli society.
And I'm sure the children of Iraq are also going through the same trauma.
It's been very frustrating for me, as I know it must be for you and others who have cared about Iraq all of these years. But I've had a special relationship over the years with Iraq before all of this, because Iraq was a place under Saddam, and I'm not saying Saddam Hussein is a great guy, but under Saddam Hussein, Iraq was a place that if we had a teenager who needed a very special operation, like a bone marrow transplant, something of that caliber, I could go to Iraq and negotiate to bring that family and that child to Iraq, to Baghdad, and all of it was for free. I mean, under Saddam Hussein, there was, health care for everyone from very early, from the beginning until the end. There was a free educational system. It was a secular society mainly. Women were very prominent in the university. I don't think people ever knew what Iraq was, especially in this country. America doesn't know that part of the world, and the peace movement didn't know that part of the world. But people today, and especially in the movement, they act like what is happening in Iraq, like this thing just started 2 years ago or last year. This is a country that had gone through a horrific war with Iran. Over 1 million people had died. Iranians and Iraqis had died during those horrifying years. And then when that was over, there was the Gulf War. I was there I left Iraq, Baghdad, 4 days before the bombing, and went back a month later when the bombing had ended in 91. And it was shocking. I don't think people know that hundreds of thousands of people died in that war. And then a far more vicious, horrible war happened, and that was the war of sanctions. And under the sanctions, at least 500,000 children under the age of 5 died as a result of no clean water, no medicine. And now this is the latest in a progression of attacks on a population that is just suffering horribly, but it's been suffering for a long time.
Okay, I want to remind our listeners of the phone number to call and ask questions of our guest, who is Barbara Lubin. the founder and executive director of the Middle East Children's Alliance. That number is 713-526-5738. That's 713-526-KPFT. So let's go ahead and give the callers who are on hold the opportunity to ask questions. And let's take our first caller, and that would be Mike. Mike, you're on the air.
Yes. Good evening, Barbara. Good evening, Saeed, and good evening, Mark. First of all, I want to tell you a quick breaking news. I just heard on the news tonight that Mitch McConnell, Republican Senator of Kentucky, has asked Tom DeLay to step down as Majority Leader of the House of Representatives because of the ethics complaint. Another ethics complaint was filed today. That's the first item. The second item is I like to ask Barbara. I think you're so courageous what you've done, and I want to thank you for that. You know, Barbara, I think, like you said, in Israel, how families are being destroyed slowly. I can see it here in this country. I can see how people are destroying themselves with their militarism. We have domestic abuse here at all-time high.
Yeah.
We have people on edge. I drive the streets of Houston every day, and I just see how mean people are. Especially these people in these big SUVs like Ford Expeditions and all that. And I think, and just today, they arrested two high school students on a plot that we're going to recreate the Columbine shooting in 1999. Mm-hmm. With this militarism, it is going to lead to our self-destruction. And not only that, with our bad diet, we have heart disease and cancer at all-time high. So I think militaristic societies eventually destroy themselves. I want you to comment on that.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, you know, we can't expect our children not to be affected all of this war talk and all of the in this country, you know, this code yellow, code red, this heightened security fear that our government is instilling in all of us and in all of our children, not to mention all of the viciousness that kids see on TV and video games, which are, you know, all really, really outrageous. I think that we really need to start building a society that talks, that thinks about peace, that has a Department of Peace instead of a Department of War. You know, I've been saying that for many, many years. I was a draft counselor during Vietnam and fought against that war. I think that we need to have a new vision in this world. There's no, you know, all of this fear that our government is instilling in everybody, and this racism against Arabs and Muslims, we've got to stand up to it, and we've got to really try and build a different kind of world.
Well, Mike, thanks for calling. We'll take the next caller.
Yes, and that would be Tabitha. Tabitha, you're on there.
Hi, Barbara. I just wanted to tell you how nice it is to hear your voice on the radio.
Thank you.
Mostly because it's watching all this play out on television. I also get Arab television, Arab satellite television, mm-hmm. and you're right, it breaks my heart. I wanted to thank you for reading the names of all of the children who have been killed.
Unfortunately, Tabitha, that wasn't all of them. That was just some of the ones whose names we could get. There are more, unfortunately.
It's really difficult to get names, I know, because I've tried.
Well, actually, what I did, to be honest, I do have the list of every single one of the 90 people who were murdered over the last, but I just read the names that were 18 years or younger.
It was so powerful to hear that.
It is. It's always, I mean, reading the names really does work. I can tell you that I swamped National Public Radio with a bunch of emails and even a voicemail over the time of a week, I think. And finally, yesterday, I heard them doing a story on Jabalia, a real story, not one of their nice little... And it was Linda Gredstein, of all the things.
Amazing.
So I'm
that
really
is amazing.
I just wanted to say thank you, Barbara. And I wanted to ask a question, actually. And this is going to sound strange, but I'm curious. I'm wondering if you have any experience with the McCarthy era, and if you... see any parallels between these days and the McCarthy era?
Yeah, I was just talking today to someone about this. I was still young for the McCarthy era, but I remember being a little girl and coming home from school every day and watching on television the McCarthy hearings. My father, who was an attorney, represented a lot of school teachers in Philadelphia, where I grew up, who were accused of being communists and who lost their jobs. And what's happening today, I mean, certainly right there where you guys are in Texas, like to the Holy Land Foundation, to Muslim organizations, people being accused, these accusations, it is identical to what happened then. And it's frightening in this country. It's frightening what's happening to Muslim charities that are raising money for preschools, for clinics, for hospitals, for food for children, and being accused of all kinds of things. And it's frightening to the rest of us, too, who are friends and who are doing a lot of the same work. You know, it's just a matter of time for them to come for us. These are very difficult times, and we have to do everything we can to stand together, to support each other, and we can come through this. We definitely can come through it. This country has come through dark times, and this is a dark time, and we have to be strong, and we have to stand up for justice.
Okay, and before we go to the next caller, I just wanted to say that both Al Jazeera Satellite TV Network and the BBC has just reported that the Israeli Apache helicopters are firing missiles at this hour at the Jabalia refugee camp again for the ninth day. There are reports already of three Palestinians killed. The total number is unknown yet about the injuries or other casualties.
You know, a year ago I was in Jabalia. I mean, we have a supported clinic and a children's library in Jabalia. I have many friends there, and I was there, and the Apache helicopters were attacking, and I had just walked out of our clinic with Dr. Mona, and we were standing there, and I looked up and I saw this something just quickly go by, and it was a missile from an Apache helicopter, and it hit a house four doors down from where we were standing outside. And Dr. Mona and I raced down, and we just crawled up what had been the steps, and we crawled inside. And there in the living room on the floor were two 18-year-old young men who were dead, and one of them, his head had been split in half. And we heard crying upstairs, and we crawled up what had been the steps to the second floor, and there was a little girl with her mother and father. And we got them to Al-Auda Hospital, and they died, all three of them, the next day. But I must say the sound of that missile hitting that house, the noise is so intense and frightening. When you said that about what's happening now in Gaza, I thought of that moment, and I thought how the shrieking that must be going on from the children and their mothers and fathers.
And also, I want to mention one thing, that the Israeli fighter jets constantly break the sound barrier, and that is, and I don't think anybody here in the United States has ever heard it, maybe people who were involved in wars, but it is the most scary sound anybody, it shakes every single building.
Really?
It is the most horrific thing that people can hear, which is fighter jets breaking the sound barrier, traveling at a tremendous amount of speed at a very low altitude, and that's almost a daily occurrence throughout the West Bank and Gaza Strip. Let's see if we can take one or two more calls before the top of the hour. I will ask the listeners or callers to make their questions short. Joseph, you're next. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Barbara, I'm very honored to have this opportunity to talk to you. Thank you. And I just wanted to say I'm very moved and at the same time inspired. And I wanted to ask you, is there any kind of network? I mean, I really appreciate Pacifica that they can bring you on and get your voice heard. But is there anybody in our government who is helping you? Anybody in the legislature? Anybody in the Congress or Senate who is listening to you? Because our media is so blinded or so curtained off from so much of this information that we receive a totally different picture. Nothing is revealed of what we're talking about tonight.
Okay,
well,
thanks,
you know,
Joseph.
It's very difficult to be in conversation to speak out on this issue. And if we see what just happened last year to Cynthia McKinney in Georgia, you know, she lost her seat over it. I am fortunate to live in the 9th Congressional District, and Barbara Lee is my congresswoman, and she is the only person who spoke out against this latest Gulf War. They're all afraid. The Democratic Party, Democrats are afraid. Republicans are afraid. They're afraid of losing their seat. Before this is over, I did just want to say if anybody is interested in getting in touch with me, to talk with me, I'm always available. Our website is meccaforpeace.org. One word, meccaforpeace.org. And you can get all the information, my phone number, everything. I'm always available to talk to people, and I'm available to come and speak also.
Okay, and because we're nearing the top of the hour,
Said, I just wanted to make one comment, and that is that I find it particularly disgusting that American war machines that are used for killing are named after Native American tribes. The Black Hawk and the Apache are particularly offensive. So just wanted to mention that. I know we're running out of time. Just wanted to get that in.
Yes, and I wanted to tell the other callers who are still on hold, Hamza, Jean, and others, I'm sorry I can't take your calls because we're almost out of time. Barbara Lubin, the founder and executive director of the Middle East Children's Alliance, has been our guest tonight. Barbara, thank you so much for your time and the work you do.
Thank you so much for your show, and thanks to everybody who called in.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. And many thanks to my co-host Mark and Matthew for assisting on the call-in center this evening. And I wanted to tell you that next week we may be preempted or we may have only 30-minute show, but I want to encourage you to still tune in because of the presidential live coverage next Wednesday. It's almost 11 o'clock. This is Said, producer and host of Arab Voices on Pacifica Radio, 90.1 FM in Houston. Until we meet next Wednesday, peace on earth.
Abaghdad, la ahwa siwaki madinatan.